Morning. Don't you just love a good story? I know I do. And really, humans have been telling stories for years. Even thousands of years ago, we would tell stories and they'd be passed on from one generation to another. And now, even as we have all of this new technology and new ways to communicate, we still love a good story. Many people still enjoy reading a good novel or watching a good movie because there's something about story, whether it's our story or someone else's, there's something about story that is powerful, that communicates in a way that other things maybe don't. We love stories. And so I want you right now, just amongst one another, just to have a quick minute just to discuss what is your favorite story. So whether it's movie, whether it's book, whatever, just take a minute and discuss with one another, what's your favorite story? All right, so what are some of the favorite stories out there? I can't hear you. What? 10,000 BC. 10,000 BC, okay. What are some other favorite stories out there? Lord of the Rings. Narnia. Doctor Who. Okay, so we don't have problems thinking up, oh, what would my favorite story be? We have, in fact, maybe the problem for some of us is not which one is my favorite, but how do I narrow it down? There's so many great stories that I love. And one of the stories I always enjoyed growing up was Narnia. And now I'm getting to share those with my kids. And I just love sharing those stories that were meaningful to me with my kids in that way. And this morning, as we continue in this series, Jesus Is, we're going to go to the book of Luke. And Luke is great at showing us all these different stories of different people's lives. But in all of these different stories that we're going to look at today as we look at the Gospel of Luke, we find that there's this bigger picture going on. There's this bigger overarching story or narrative, if you will, that's woven into each one of these stories. In each of these individual stories, there's something bigger. There's something more going on. These stories are pointing to a bigger story. And so the first story that we're going to look at this morning is going to be in Luke chapter 1, and it's the story of Zechariah. Now, Zechariah is this priest, and he's in the temple, and he has this vision. And in this vision, this angel tells him that he's going to have a son, and not just any son, that this son is going to be the messenger that's going to prepare the way for this promised Savior that they had been promised for so many years. They'd been promised this Savior, this Messiah, who was going to come and deliver them and to save them. And not just them, but the entire world. And so Zechariah is told, this is going to be your son. And Zechariah is an old man, and him and his friends and his nation have been waiting for this promised Savior for so long that he has a hard time believing the angel. He's like, how can I know this is true? I'm old, you know, like, we've been waiting for a long time. So the angel says, I'm in the presence of God all the time. And because you don't believe me, you're not going to be able to talk. And so he can't talk, and it comes time for the baby to be born. And when the baby's born, his mother, Elizabeth, says, his name's going to be John. And people are like, John, that's a weird name. Why would you choose John? Like, nobody in your family is named John. What's with the name John? Well, maybe something's wrong here. Let's ask the father. We'll ask the father what the name should be. So they bring him something to write with, and he writes down his name is John. And when he does that, he can suddenly speak. And when he can suddenly speak, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he begins to sing a song of praise and worship for what God is doing and is about to do. And that's where we're going to pick up the story. And it will be in Luke chapter 1. And if you have your Bibles with you, you're welcome to turn there or look it up on your tablet. If you want a hard copy Bible, just raise your hand. We have Bibles. We're a church. We love to give them out. So we'll make sure you get one. But you can also follow along on the screen. And this is what part of the song that Zechariah sings, starting in verse 68. He says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." And if you skip down a little bit to verse 76, he says, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High." He's speaking of his own son here. "For you will go before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give the people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." So in this story of Zechariah, we see that Zechariah, in his song, is pointing to a bigger story that's going on here. See, he's pointing to a promised Savior that would have the power to forgive, have the power to forgive the human race for all the wrong we had committed, for the rebellion against God, and also be able to redeem us, to make things right with us and God, and to make us people who are fully alive, who could experience life again the way God had intended for it to be. This promised Savior would have the power to forgive and to redeem us, and that's what Zechariah's story here is pointing towards. But Zechariah's song continues in 78 and 79, and he says, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." He's also, in his song, sharing with us that this promised Savior that's about to come into the world would have the power even to defeat death. That somehow he was going to conquer death, and death wasn't going to have the same power that it held over human beings. Somehow this Savior was even going to have the power to defeat death. Now, Zechariah isn't the only story we see as we're reading the Christmas story according to Luke. There are others whose stories are intertwined, and there are these shepherds, these humble shepherds, who are out in a field. I always envision them sitting around a campfire. I don't know why, but that's how I envision them, sitting around a campfire. You know, just watching the sheep, trying to keep warm. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this angel shows up. And so, of course, right, this bright, shining angel shows up. What's going to be their reaction? They're terrified. So what's the first thing the angel has to say if we look in Luke chapter 2? Where we pick up the story of these shepherds, the first thing the angel has to say to them is, "Do not be afraid." Because if this angel all of a sudden busts into the quiet night sky, you're going to be a little bit terrified. And he says, "But do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." So the angel says, "Look, there's this baby that's been born. He's the Savior of the world. Go and see him." And so they do. The shepherds, they go and they find Jesus lying in a manger. And they realize that this baby born in this humble way, this Savior of the world, not born in the way that they may have imagined him to be born, maybe in a palace or something like that, but he's born and he's wrapped in cloths, and he's lying in a manger. And so we realize, through the angel's proclamation and the shepherd's discovery, that this promised Savior is actually Jesus. Jesus is this Savior that is to come, and now these shepherds, they get to meet him, and even though he's even in infant form, they go and they're telling everybody about this, about how they've had this encounter with God, and there was this angel, and the Messiah is here, and they're telling everybody they've been changed by this encounter. And we find 8 days after Jesus' birth, he's taken to the temple. And we pick up another story. Jesus, the Savior of the world, his story is intertwined again with another person's life. And this man is named Simeon, and it says he's this devout person who follows God. And he's been promised by the Holy Spirit that he will not die until he sees this promised Savior that's supposed to save the world, that's supposed to make things right again, that's supposed to repair this broken relationship they have with God. He's promised, you won't die until you see him. And so it's here that we pick up the story of Simeon, another one of our stories from this morning. And it's found in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. It says, now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. So again, Simeon is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he picks up Jesus, and he confirms again that this promised Savior is Jesus. This is him. I can finally rest in peace, knowing that I have finally been able to see what God had promised me, that I would see this Savior that's been promised for so many years that we've been waiting for. I got to hold him in my arms. What an amazing moment that must have been for Simeon. But here's the thing. This baby Jesus that we see in our nativity sets that we put up this time of year, he didn't stay a baby, because babies grow up, don't they? Those of you that have young kids, you've seen them grow. Some of you have even seen them go on to college and university, go out on their own, right? Kids grow up, and Jesus is no different. He grows up. And he starts this ministry, and he's healing people, and he's teaching people, and he's doing all these miracles, and people are like, maybe this Jesus is the Messiah. Maybe he is this promised Savior. And there's one man that we're going to look at today, and he has an encounter with Jesus that changes him forever. And this man, his name is Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus is a tax collector, and tax collectors were not people who were very popular in those days, because they tended to cheat. They tended to be like, oh, it says here his taxes are, 200. I better make that 400. And so he would cheat people. And that's how he would make his living. And he'd become a very wealthy man by cheating people and adding on their taxes a little extra on the side for himself. But he hears that this Jesus, there's this buzz about him, and he's heard about Jesus, and he hears Jesus is coming to his town. Now he's a short man, and so he can't see over all the crowds that's forming to see Jesus. And so he climbs up into a tree, because he desperately wants to just see this Jesus that everyone's talking about. And Jesus, as he's walking by, he stops and he begins to have this interaction with Zacchaeus. And in the course of events, what happens is Jesus says, yeah, I'm going to come over to your house for dinner today. And Zacchaeus is like, whoa, Jesus is coming over for dinner. Okay, let's go. And so they go to Zacchaeus' house. And Zacchaeus is sitting and he's having dinner with Jesus. And that's where we're going to pick up the story in Luke chapter 19. Zacchaeus is having dinner with Jesus, and he says this. Zacchaeus gets up and he says this in Luke chapter 19, verse 8. He says, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus has this encounter. His story meets this greater, bigger story of Jesus saves, that Jesus is the Savior that changes everything. And it completely flips his life on its head. And he goes from being this cheating, swindling, lying, conniving man to this generous, I need to make amends, I need to make right what I've done that's wrong. All from this encounter with Jesus. Jesus transforms this man's life. And so we see that Jesus, he saves and transforms us daily. He transformed Zacchaeus' life. But Jesus, he went on, the story continues, and Jesus went on and he ends up dying on a cross like the one you see behind us, although probably not as nice as that one. And he rises again and he does defeat death, just like Zechariah had predicted he would. And that same Jesus that transformed Zacchaeus that day, I believe that same Jesus is alive and well today, and he wants to transform your life. He wants to save you. He wants you to be in relationship with him and have this connection with God. He wants you to become fully alive as you engage in a relationship with him. And you start to realize, this is how life was meant to be. This is that greater thing that life was missing. And so I want to ask you this question today, as we think about all these stories and how they were all intertwined with this connection with Jesus, and they all pointed towards the fact that Jesus saves. I want to ask you this question. Where's Jesus in your story? Where is Jesus in your story? Because it's great to hear all these stories about how Jesus is the Savior and how he can transform someone's life like Zacchaeus. But where is he in your story? Is he an active part of your story? Are you in a relationship with him that's transforming you day by day? A relationship that will allow you to spend all of eternity with him? Or have you maybe, you haven't recognize that Jesus has been at work in your life. I believe he has been, whether you've recognized it or not. And I believe that Jesus wants to save you and he wants to transform your life. And he brings forgiveness and he brings healing and redemption. And maybe you've known Jesus for a while, but you've kind of pushed him to the margins of your life. You've made him little more than a footnote in your story. Maybe this morning you're like, I need that Jesus who transforms, who saved Zacchaeus. I need more of that Jesus in my life. So wherever you find yourself this Christmas season, I want you to, as you go from this place, wrestle with this question, where is Jesus in your story? And I want to provide you the opportunity this morning, if you want to take some time to invite Jesus into your story, whether it's for the first time or whether it's saying, you know what, I need to say, Jesus, I need you more in my story because I haven't been allowing you to be much of a part in my story. I'm gonna come down from the stage. I'm gonna go out those doors, and to the right there's a room, and I'll be there, and a few other people will be there, and we would love to just pray with you this morning. And we would love, if you've never had Jesus a part of your story, a part of your life, we'd love to introduce you to Jesus this morning, and to start that connection and to start that allowing him to be a part of your story, to be a part of your life this morning. If you just want prayer because you know that you've pushed him to the side a little bit and you just like prayer and you just say, Jesus, this Christmas season I want you to be more a part of my story, then come for prayer as well. So worship team, why don't you come at this time? And I'm just going to be out there, and I'd love to meet and pray with you.